Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Samach, the 60th Perek. The Perek opens with a description of light. And light seems to be a running theme in this Perek, because after the first three psukim talk about light, it's picked up on again in Patsukim Yutes and Chaf. So I'm going to assess these two sections together as one unit. The Perek opens up with a phrase which is paraphrased in Lechadodi, which should be no surprise to us by now, as that seems to be repeated again and again and again in these beautiful prophecies about the Messianic era. Kumi uri kiva orech, awake, wake up, and shine, because your light has come. Ukvod Hashem alayich sarach, and the presence of Hashem has shone upon you. The Radak understands that this is a call to Am Yisrael, to tell them that they should have happiness, simcha, kumi uri, be overwhelmed with joy, because your orech, your light, and here means your salvation, your Yeshua has come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come to save you. The Malbim, in typical Malbim language, understands that there's two different lights that we're talking about. The one is Kiva Orech, our light which has come, and the other one is the light of Hashem. And he says in the future time there will be light which comes from us, from human beings, from our nature, and there'll be the light that comes for externally from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his prophets, and these two together will bring light into the world. The Radak also points out for us, and this is important, that Ba'orech does not always mean your sun has come or your light has come. In fact, when the Chumash talks about Bias HaShemesh, it is actually a reference to the sun setting. So too here, maybe Ki Ba'orech could mean because your sun is setting. And since your sun is setting, then Kvod HaShem Alayach Zarach, the sun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will rise. In other words, Ki Ba'orech means your time in Olam Hazeh. You, in Olam Hazeh, who are required in this world to create light, that time has come to a close. The sun is setting on that era, and a new time period is coming, where it is the light of Hashem which is going to shine, and not something which has to be perpetuated from within us. Pasuk Beis further describes the light that will happen at the end of days, and it says, Kihina ha-choshech yecheseh aretz va'arafel lo'umim. There will be darkness which will cover the land, and there'll be the thick darkness for the other nations, for Elaich, but you, Am Yisrael, Yizrach Hashem, Hashem will provide light for you, Uchvodo Elaich Yira'eh, and the Hashem's presence will be seen. This idea of Hashem creating darkness for the other nations and light for Am Yisrael is not a new idea to us, because we know in the ninth plague, in the 10 plagues in Egypt, the ninth plague of darkness similarly provided darkness for the Egyptians and light for Am Yisrael. And there's a classic explanation of this plague, which is given to us by the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bebedichev. And his explanation could help us understand Hashem in the end of days as well. He explains that in the plague of Choshech, darkness, the Pasuk tells us, Vayamash Choshech, Hashem spread out Choshech. And classically, Rashi explains to us that the word Vayamash comes from the word Mashosh, which means to be tangible. It was a tangible darkness. You could almost feel it. However, the word Vayamash could also be to be removed. And says Rav Levi Yitzchak, Vayamash Choshech means that Hashem removed a layer of darkness. Hashem has clothed the world in multiple facets or layers of hiddenness in order to hide HaKadosh Baruch Hu's extreme powerful light. Because were he to express his light in the world, it would be too bright for us to even see, just like looking at a blinding light directly into your eyes. In the plague of darkness, when Hashem removed one of those layers of hiddenness, of tzimtzum, so what was expressed in the world was even greater light. For the Jews who were righteous and deserving, when they received more light, they perceived more. But for the Mitzrim who were wicked, when they perceived more light, their eyes were not capable of containing Hashem's light or perceiving Hashem's light, and thus they experienced darkness. So too here at the end of days, there isn't going to be a different treatment that Hashem is going to give to different people. Hashem's light will just be so powerful and so blatant and so expressed in the world that for those deserving, it'll be incredible. Zarach Hashem. It's as if Hashem is shining down on us. Not the sun anymore, but Hashem himself. But for the wicked people, this will be just too much. It'll be overwhelming. It'll be blinding darkness. And thus, as I mentioned, we once again pick up on the light imagery in Pasuk Yud Tes. In a strange description of the future times, we're told, Lo yihye lach od Hashemesh lo'or yomam, ve'le noga yareach lo ya'ir lach. In the future times, there will not be any more the sun, which will provide light for us in the day, and the moon at night. V'hayalach Hashem le'or olam. Hashem will be your eternal light, ve'elokayich, and your God le'tifartech, for your honor. If we understand this in light, no pun intended, of Pasuk Beis above, what that means to say is that there will no longer be some superficial or physical expression of light, but rather Hashem himself will appear down in the world in a powerful form of expression of godliness. V'Abar Barbanel says this in a totally different way, but really the same idea in its essence. He says that the sun and the moon represent the Ma'aracha, the zodiac, the sun, the moon, the stars, the system by which God runs the world, or Teva, nature, as we call it. In future times, there will no longer be a system. It will all be Hashgacha Pratis, it will all be divine providence, and that's what this Pasuk is talking about. The Radak understands this on a much more simplistic level. He says what it means is that there'll be so much bracha, so much goodness in the world, that compared to the goodness of God that is provided, by comparison, the sun will be nothing. It'll be as if there is no sun and moon, because the light of Hashem is so much brighter. The goodness and the bracha we receive will be so much brighter. The Malbim is going to pick up on the fact that there's a comparison between the sun and the moon. And he explains to us that we know that the sun shines as a light in its own right, and the moon is a reflection of the sun. And thus, for the Malbim, the whole thing comes in full circle in Pasuk Chaf, which says, Lo yavo od shimshech ve'yarech lo yasef. Your sun will cease to set, and so will the moon. Ki Hashem yihyeh lach la'or olam, because Hashem will be your eternal light. V'shalmu yemei avlaich, and he will complete or end your days of mourning. And he says, the reason why it doesn't mention what will be in the future days of the moon is that just as in this world, the moon is a reflection of the sun, in the future times, the tzaddikim, the righteous people, will reflect God's light down here into the world. It will no longer be that we are reflections of our materialistic pursuits and the things that we desire. In the future time, the righteous, the deserving people will be a reflection of God's light. They will be compared to the moon. And that is the greatest comfort we can possibly imagine. The second theme of this perek is the theme of the ingathering, not just of the exiles of Am Yisrael, but the ingathering of all the other nations coming to Eretz Yisrael as the pinnacle, the center point of all of humanity. Pasuk Daled tells us, Se'i saviv einayich ure'i, raise up your eyes and see, kulam nikbatsu ba'ulach, everyone has gathered and come towards you, banayich merachok yavo'u, your sons will come from far away, ubunosayich, and your daughters, al tzad te'amana, shall be raised on the sides of king or royalty. The Radak says, this is an instruction to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, who has been sitting abandoned for thousands of years, look up and see, everybody's coming home. But the Abar Benel says that this is not a call to Jerusalem, but a call to Am Yisrael. And who they see, the Banayich and Bonosayich coming towards them, are not Am Yisrael coming towards Yerushalayim, but they're all the other nations coming towards the Jewish people. And let's recall, up until now in history, when all the other nations start heading towards Yerushalayim, there is only one thing that they have in mind, and that is war, the annihilation of the Jews. When everyone starts gathering towards Jews, it's because they want to kill Jews. And here it's not going to be for that. Here it's going to be that they're going to come and they're going to come to learn Torah. They're going to come to learn morality from us. But it is perhaps our PTSD or our past notion of what it is that the other nations want, which leads to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says, As tir'i v'nahart, then you will see and you will behold that all the other nations are swarming towards you. Upachat, and you will be afraid. V'rachav levavech, and your heart will be widened. The Radak simply says, you'll be totally overwhelmed. There's no real pachad. You're not going to be afraid, but rather it'll just feel like a totally overwhelming experience. But the Malbim says, no, it will be real fear. You see them and you're terrified and you think, oh my gosh, we're going to have to fight another war. And our skies are going to fill with aeroplanes from everybody coming and we're going to be so scared. And then we'll have a reality check. V'nahart, we won't be able to believe our eyes. We're going to have to look more carefully and see. Ki yahafech alayich hamonam. Everybody is coming towards us. Chel goyim yavo'u lach. But they're not coming to fight. They're coming yavo'u to be part of us, to belong to us, to be connected to us. And then the psukim describe how all the other nations are going to bring their wealth. They're going to come with their camels. They're going to come with their produce. As Pasuk Vav tells us, Zahav ulevona yisa'u utihilos Hashem yavaseru. They're going to come bringing frankincense and gold and praises of Hashem. Pasuk Zayin, Kol tzon kedar yikbutzulach. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered, will come towards you. Ele neviot yeshartunech. The rams of Neviot will come to your service. Ya'alu al ratzon mizbechi. They will come up of their own will to Hashem's mizbeach, ubeis tifarti efa'er, and I will be glorified in my Beis HaMikdash. In the Gemara, there is an opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that non-Jews are not allowed to give korbanos, and they will not allow to be korbanos. And thus, the only way he explains this pasuk is by saying that everybody is going to convert. But the mainstream idea is that most of the nations will come and they will be part of this excited serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, in this overwhelming sense of camaraderie and excitement at Am Yisrael's space in society, Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us, Ufitchu sha'arayich tamid yomam v'layla. Your gates will be open night and day. Lo yisageru, they'll never be closed. Lehevi elayich chel goyim umelacheihem nehugim. To bring to you the wealth of all the multitudes of the other nations and all of their possessions. There'll be a constant flow of people, says the Abar Ben-El. You won't be able to close the doors because the flights are going to be coming in night and day. Every time you get to Ben-Gurion, it's going to be full. The Malbim says that the reason why your gates are going to be open day and night is because you're not afraid. And you will never have to close them because it's going to be peace every hour of the day. And thus, Pasuk Tesvav promises us that in future times, Tachas hiyosech azova usnua, in place of being alone, forsaken, and rejected, ve'ein over, and no one wants to pass through, everybody's cancelled you, and everybody's not buying Israeli products, in place of that, v'samtich le'go'on olam, you'll become the greatest pride of the world, misos dor vador, a celebration for everybody. And in this elated state of glory, we're told, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Tachas hanachoshes avi zahav, instead of copper, I will bring gold. We'll try to figure out what this means in a second. V'tachas ha-barzel avi kesef. And instead of iron, I'll bring silver. V'tachas ha-eitzim nechoshech. And in place of the trees or the wood, I will bring copper. V'tachas ha-avanim barzel. And instead of stone, I'll bring iron. V'samti pekudasayich shalom. V'nogsayich tzedakah. And you will have appointed over you peace and righteousness. The Malbim understands these psukim to mean that everybody is going to, of their own volition, pay extra taxes willingly to the Jewish people. When we ask them to pay nechoshes, they say, nonsense, I don't want to give nechoshes, I want to give zahav. When they ask to bring iron, instead they're going to bring silver. They're going to up their game. Every single thing that's requested, they're going to want to do more. The Abar Ben-El reads this a bit more darkly. He says the tachas is here is payback from what they stole. In the destruction of the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, our enemies plundered us. They stole so much from us. In the acquisitions, in the Crusades, in the Holocaust, they took so much Jewish jewelry, so much Jewish gold, so many Jewish fillings that were taken from the mouths of Jewish people. In future times, we're told, in place of what they took, they're going to replace it with something even greater. Tachas hanachoshech avi zahav, Hashem promises, you're going to get paid and then some. And most importantly, pasuk yud ches, there's going to be peace. Lo yishama od chamas ba'artzech, there's not going to be violence anymore in your land. Shod v'shever begvulayich, and desecration and brokenness in your borders. V'karat yeshua chomosayich, your borders, your walls will be called salvation. U'sha'arayich tehila, and your gates will be glory. And thus, the last two psukim of the perek are fairly famous. They tell us, V'amech kulam tzadikim, le'olam yirshu aretz. Your whole entire nation, all of you will be righteous, and together they will inherit the land. Netzer mat'ay ma'aseh yadai lehitpa'er. This tiny shoot that I planted, my handiwork, will become something which provides glory. The Ibn Ezra picks up on this phrase, ma'aseh yadai, the work of my hands. He explains there's no greater nachas, there's no greater joy than when you work hard on something and the thing that you put your effort into works out. That's the greatest thing ever. And Hashem says, you are my say and I. You are my handiwork. I created you. I have been nurturing and cultivating you for all this time. And this will be the greatest covered shamayim when we express God's greatness in the world. The Malbim points out that this tiny little sapling that we're talking about is the sapling of a people. We know Abraham was just a man and Yitzchak was just a man, and we know that this tiny little family, Shivim Nafesh, of 70 souls, went down to Mitzrayim. And through all that we've been through, generation after generation, that little sapling plant is going to become something, Lehit Pa'er, an entire nation of tzaddikim that will glorify Hashem. And thus we're told, Pasuk Chaf Beis, HaKaton Yihiye Le'elef V'Hatzair L'Goy Atzum. The small one will become like thousands, and the young like a mighty nation. What a story. If you've ever seen a picture of someone, maybe a survivor, someone who went through hardships, and as they get older and they have children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and those photographs taken of that single person and the dynasty that they created with all of their kinderlach and all of their grandchildren all surrounding them. Can you imagine the nachas of Avraham Avinu, that we are his people, a person who so desperately wanted a child, and here we are, a nation of his children, of him being our Zeda at the center of the picture. That's the Katon Yihiele Elef. What a powerful image. And we're told, Hashem says, Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem, I'm going to make this all happen for you, Am Yisrael. Be'ita Achishana, which is the duality I've spoken about previously, famous two words which pretty much sum up the ambiguity of the Messianic era. Be'ita means in its right time, and Achishana means I will hasten it. And the Gemara says it's going to be either or. Either Mashiach will come be'ita in his correct time, or Achishana, through our good deeds, through Torah, through mitzvahs, through merit, we can hasten the days of Mashiach and bring it before its time. The ins and outs of what that exactly means requires many hours of study, but this is really how we can't really figure out when Mashiach is going to come, because there is no specific deadline, in that there could be a world of Achishen of it coming earlier. And at the same time, there is a deadline, in that we're told Be'ita, in its time, it needs to come. As in, there is a time after which it needs to, or Mashiach needs to have come. Either way, we know it'll be a time of light. It'll be a time of God shining down on us, clarity. It'll be a time in which Am Yisrael has dignity, is desired, is loved by all the other nations, and will manage to overcome our terror and our fear of being surrounded by other people, and recognize how they're coming as friends to support Am Yisrael, to give money to Am Yisrael, to give korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately all to give tiferet and tehillah to Hashem. Thank you for learning with me today. Lerefua Shalema Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayekara Shelanu, Ulepitzuei Tzahal, Achenu Hayekarim, Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Chaim Venina Shenka.